Well, it's time for the sermon, so I hope that you are not this. I'm hoping you're more here, and I'm sorry, here, for just a little bit, right? Yes, just a little bit. Well, we'll begin by looking to God's Word, and the Bible passage this morning is James chapter 1, verses 19 to 25. From James 1. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, be no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. This is the word of the Lord. Full disclosure, I did not give you the title to the sermon accurately. I was actually a little reluctant to do so. The sermon title this morning is James 1 and the Smartphone. We'll see how this one goes. Now, in the book of James here, James begins with heart issues. Issues like joy and trial and asking God for wisdom in your life. James begins with issues of humility and perseverance and thanking God for his goodness. And then we come to this passage packed with practicality. And this morning, I hope to honor James' practicalness by being very practical in the sermon. For the second time in the letter, James says, my beloved brothers, and says here, know this. It's like, all right, pause. Now, all of you that I'm speaking to, I really care about you, fellow Christians. Before I say this, just please know that. Know this. And then he begins with these words that are so, so practical for the Christian life. I came across the Message paraphrase of these verses. I just want to read a few of them for you. Eugene Peterson's Message paraphrase, James 1:19. Post this at all the intersections, dear friends. Lead with your ears, follow up with your tongue, and let anger straggle along in the rear. God's righteousness doesn't grow from human anger. So throw all the spoiled virtue and cancerous evil in the garbage. In simple humility, let our gardener, God, landscape you with the word, making a salvation garden of your life. So although some of these words can be difficult to hear and hard to live by, please know that God in his goodness wants to lead you into this salvation garden of a life. So let's begin. I'd like us to think about James 1 this morning in terms of patience, purity, and practice. So first is patience, the importance of slowness, the importance of slowness. Now this next section here is one of the reasons why James is often called the Proverbs of the New Testament, because it's very short, these words. It's packed with wisdom, and it has to do with our speech. which is so often true in the book of Proverbs. And so in Proverbs, we have Proverbs 17, the one who has knowledge uses words with restraint, and whoever has understanding is even-tempered. And so we read here, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. All right, what does this mean? Well, I just read it. Okay, I mean, this is no word study here. All the translations agree. Well, let's look up here. Be quick to hear and slow to speak. That's what it means. And it doesn't mean quick to hear like, yeah, I'm listening. No, it's like, I'm listening. And I'm listening so much, even though I want to say something right now, so I can hear you. Simply, that's what it means. Unfortunately, we can have difficulty with this, obviously, day by day. You know, we start our day, everything's going well. And then all of a sudden, she took my toy. He took my promotion. She took my friend. Well, he took my spot. She took my place. Well, he's invading my space. And something comes up, and just like that, the temptation is to be slow to hear and quick to speak. You know, we live in an instant culture. Online is so fast. Information is so fast. I am fact-checked all the time in class. Ugh. Anyway, it keeps me honest. But instant information, fast food, and guess what? In relationships, boy, it would be much more productive if my will be done. Listening, it slows things down. It's not as productive. And yet, this is the wisdom of God's Word. So I came across an article about a book on hostage negotiations. The author's name is Chris Voss. He was a 24-year veteran with the FBI dealing with very tense situations in hostage negotiation. His book is entitled Never Split the Difference. Now, I'm going to read just one explanation of this book. Friends, it is James chapter 1, verse 19. I could not believe it. Okay, here it is. Hostage negotiation, okay? When Voss analyzed the transcripts of his most unlikely hostage negotiation victories, situations he was in that, I don't know how we can get out of this, and they did, okay? When he analyzed the transcripts, he discovered that the turning point frequently occurred right after his team took the time to listen to the captor's argument. Then they would summarize the argument back to the captor and finally got the captor to say these words, "That's right." Now, you might not be involved in hostage negotiation, but oh my, there's negotiations that go on in the family. Ooh, now, don't say it's hostage, okay? This would not be good for the family. All the time in relationships, we're in some kind of conflict, and how to resolve, how to work through this, our knee-jerk reaction is slow to hear and quick to speak. James is speaking wisdom into our lives that we need to be quick to hear and slow to speak. And then, of course, if we are not slow to speak, invariably we arrive here. Okay, we arrive quick to anger. How many times have you been in a situation where there's been some tenseness, then somebody is quick to speak, and then all of a sudden the temperature and irritation becomes anger, just like that, because of being quick to speak. We lack patience with people. This quick to speak in anger is very evident in the media, specifically political media. So Edward Wasserman, he's the dean of the Graduate School of Journalism at the University of California, Berkeley. Here's something that he said. Mainstream media has made a fortune teaching people the wrong way to talk to each other. They offer up Jerry Springer, Crossfire, Bill O'Reilly. People understandably conclude that rage is the political vernacular, that this is how public ideas are talked about. It's just the way it's done. And the message of James runs counter to what the example we so often see in the world, and particularly here in news media. What does the Bible say? Being slow to hear, quick to speak, and quick to anger does not produce righteousness. And the Bible says here, it does not produce the righteousness of God. We are called to pursue the righteousness of God. Because of Jesus Christ, our value is in Jesus, not in my way has to be right or else everything falls apart. Because of Jesus' love, we can freely love others and not be so demanding. Now, I'd like us to think for a moment on the smartphone and how this passage applies. I picked this because this is so much of our lives. And if this is not much of your life, good. And there are people that you care about that it is very much a part of their lives. Now, very often with the phone, we are quick to check, right? We're quick to check this right here. Very often with the phone, what happens is we may be slow to speak to others, but we're slow to hear. I'm going to tell you a scenario. If this is you, just pretend it's not, and we'll move on. Have you been to the restaurant where there is a couple eating dinner, and they are not talking? They're not listening to each other. Why? Have you been to the restaurant where the family is like this? Now, I am not saying that, I mean, there's times you need to get a text, right? There's times you need to get a phone call. However, oftentimes, if there is social situation, if there's a notification on this takes precedence. Usually, this takes precedence. So I guess the point I want to make here is this. Wisdom for the world in which we live, this sounds weird, but wisdom is notification management of... Oh, I got a call. Excuse me. Would that be bad if I took a call? That would not be good. Oh, yes. See, we mute now. Okay. But this happens. I will tell you, you know, if I'm talking to someone and my phone happens to go off, first I check quick if it's my wife. Okay, I mean, she's kind of, you know, sometimes, you know. Okay. However, if it's not, it's off. Phone's off. I'm talking to you. I don't need this. And what happens now is now people have notifications for email, notifications for social media, notification for this and this, and it's going off. What's happening? This is calling the shots of your attention, not the people that you are with. So important for us. The people before us. So more important than a little beep, 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 beep on this. Now, one thing I've done, I'm just going to share wisdom with you on this. everybody's life is different, but one thing I've done is most notifications I have off because I do not want this constantly, look at me, look at me, look at me. Okay, I don't want that. Now, there are some notifications that all you can have is a little icon badge, right, on the app, like a little number 1, 2, or 3, you know. That's more of a soft sell. That's when you decide to look at the phone, oh, I can see there's something here. Okay, but if you have all your notifications turned on, so this is ringing or vibrating, this is going to definitely hurt being quick to hear. We need to be listening carefully to the people around us. And then one other thing I must say before I move on about the smartphone. This is huge among middle school and high school students. I don't know what we would... I'll just look at this one here. Social media bullying. Posting, and then also looking at the posts, and maybe even participating by liking it and giving it attention. Social media bullying. Here's my wisdom on this. The Bible says slow to anger. I would also say slow to post anything online when you're irritated, frustrated, or upset. That's just, I don't know, for me, that's been a no-brainer. If ever I am irritated, frustrated, or upset, for me, my rule is thou shalt not post online. And this happens. People do this. And then what happens with the circle of anger or irritability? Instead of this, it becomes this. And the misunderstanding, instead of right here, it becomes here online. So important. I would even say, parents, it is morally important that you talk to your children about what's going on online. How is it with friends and social media bullying? Have you been bullied? Are you witnessing this? Important conversation for families. So patience, the importance of slowness, being quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. The passage then moves on to purity. To purity. How to look good. In our world, what is beautiful? What is filthy? What is beautiful? What is filthy? As we look at people in our world, as we look at the media, we know what beautiful is. Beautiful is a lavish lifestyle, a big social media following, very attractive, nice bodies. Oh, this is beautiful. What's filthy? Well, here's filthy. Since it's so cold today, I'll use this illustration. It's 100 degrees out, high humidity, and I have to mow the lawn. And when I do the grass, the little, like, dust of it, it, like, just sticks to my face, okay? And I'm just dripping, okay? And then I walk inside, and I see my wife, and I'm like, honey, give me a hug, you know? And she's like, away from me, you filthy man. And you stink! You know, boys and men, we can stink, okay? No hugs now. Yeah. When I was a kid, I don't know... My big problem was grass stains on my pants. I don't know, kids like to on the ground. And I would come in from playing outside, and my mom would look at me, oh, why did you do this? This is awful. Your pants, I can't get this out. Like this. Now, there's a reason why I'm bringing this up. Okay. Now, so that's physical. Now, spiritually, what is beautiful spiritually? I think of the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. You think about this. Jesus died for our sin in order to make us beautiful spiritually. So would you not think that the natural result would be I want to live a beautiful life, a righteous life before God. Now, what is filthy spiritually? What is filthy? Well, it says here, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness. Put it away. This actually is the clothing metaphor. That's why I talked about being hot and sweaty and stinky in clothes and my grass stains, because the metaphor going on here is clothes. Your clothes are filthy. Get rid of them. Put on clean clothes. Get rid of them. This is something profound. Are you ready? You ready for the profound? Evil is bad. Oh, so wise, Pastor. Yes, yes. Evil is bad. Okay, question. Why do we so often think evil is funny and entertaining? Sure, evil is bad, but oh, that was so funny. And I know we encounter things that are wrong in the world, but we're supposed to be discerning. But the problem is, did you see rampant wickedness, prevalent abundance of wickedness? It is so much around us that we can become dulled in our discernment, and simply, instead of hungering and thirsting for righteousness, we hunger and thirst for entertainment. And if it's evil entertainment, oh well, at least I don't do that, the way we reason it. So the response to this in verse 21 is, receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. With humility, with no stubbornness, with a humble acceptance of God's word, to receive God's word implanted in you, which can save you. God's word. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. And as I wait until the return of Jesus, I seek to live that righteous life that the Lord Jesus has called me to live. This is God's word planted within us, which can save us. All right. So here we have it. We have the phone, and we have God's word. Which gets more attention in our lives? Which gets more attention? Which calls the shots more often in terms of what we look at? The phone or the Bible? For some of you, the application of this verse is going to be, do you know what? I like it, to be honest, but I really should stop watching this particular TV show. Maybe that's the application. When I was a kid, you had to, evil was all over. It always has been in human sight. But when I was a kid, you had to like have more effort to search it out. Now, it is scary how quickly evil is before us with this. Talk about, you know, James said rampant wickedness or prevalent evil. Its cell phone hadn't even been invented yet. I mean, this just ups the game so much more. We are surrounded by evil, and we need to discern how is the content of media, and of course it's not just this, it's, you know, tablets, it's TV screens, computers. How is the content of media warping our brains in terms of discerning the simple fact evil is bad? And it does affect us. In fact, I would make the claim that the reason why the American church, us, all of us, the reason the American church is not more passionate in their faith is because we have not been discerning enough with the rampant wickedness or prevalent evil that is in our culture and how it affects us. Purity. How is God calling you to be more pure with media content? And last, practice. To do or not to do, that is the question. To do or not to do. What is the purpose of God's word? Be doers of the word, not hearers only. The purpose of God's word is not to get an A in the Bible test. The purpose of God's word is to, yes, understand it, and then do it. Live it out. James says, this is obvious. Let me give you an illustration. If somebody looks at a mirror and looks at their face closely, okay? Let's bring it into today's world. If somebody takes a selfie, many selfies, okay? And they see their face, obviously they're not going to forget what they look like. I mean, I could ask each one of you, you can tell me, okay, this is what I like about my face, this is what I don't like about my face. I've seen it enough, I know. It's obvious you will remember your face. James says, then why is it not obvious that we don't live out God's word? It's clear. Do it. This is obvious. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Is one of the 3:16 is one of the greatest verses that tells us how God is behind the Bible. It says all Scripture is God breathed. Okay, the inspired Word of God. Now, where does it go from there? From there, the verse immediately goes into practice. It says is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training. Living it out, training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Verse 25. But the one who looks at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. The one who looks at God's word, perseveres in God's word, and does God's word, okay, that's in the verse, looks, perseveres, and does, what are the consequences for that person's life? That person will walk in a way that is good because the law is perfect. So in a good way. It also says the law of liberty. It's actually freeing. It is freeing. And third, it is a blessing. It is a blessing to do God's word. And if you question that, just ask some of the people in this room who have walked with the Lord for many years and have taken his word seriously. I know those people in this room would say, amen, this is the blessed life. To do God's word. Do not listen to the lies of this world that say, no, 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 this will not lead you right. Be doers of God's word. So this is so interesting, so interesting. There was a business school that did an experiment. There were 20 math questions. The control group of the experiment, they took the test. They said you get 50 cents for every question you get right. Okay? So they took the test, and the average was around 8 questions correct. Okay? And they got their 50 cents. Now for the experimental group. The other group said, they said separately, okay, here's a math test. After this test, we would like you to self-grade the test, and then you may put the test in the shredder, tell us your score, and we will give you 50 cents for every correct question. Same test. Guess what? the average score was around 13 correct answers. Oh, surprise! These people were so much smarter. Oh, my. No, they cheated. Oh, nobody's going to know. Nobody's going to know? Shred the answers? 13! Okay, you get more money. Now, why am I saying this? This was one business school that did it. There was another university that saw this. They repeated the same experiment, and I don't know who thought of this, but this is kind of cool. For the cheating group, or we'll call them the self-correcting group, okay? For that group, well, they had another group that were the self-correctors, but before they took the test, they recalled the Ten Commandments. This group read the Ten Commandments, took the test, self-graded, shredded the answers, and their average score was the same as the control group because they had considered honesty. How important for us to have this word daily on the forefront of our minds to help navigate and guide us through all of the situations of life that we find ourselves in. To practice God's word. Now, let me get the phone out again. Okay, the phone. I had to really reduce my thoughts on this because I actually just, you know how you just get into something and you keep going? And this applies so much to my students in school as well. So there's a real cool guy in Silicon Valley. I mean, kind of hipster looking, young 30s, computer guy, you know. He's worked for Apple and Google. And his name is Tristan Harris. And actually, he's called the Binge Breaker. And he knows so much about app development. And he's just being honest about it. And he's calling out to Silicon Valley, saying, you are unethical. That's what he's doing. Because what's happening is that Silicon Valley is taking a cue from Vegas. A lot of research has gone into slot machines on how to make them more addictive to the person sitting there. Now, the nice thing about, well, not the nice thing about a slot machine, but, okay, a slot machine is here, and then you leave, right? It's over there. Guess what? The slot machine in your pocket, the same principles are being applied to apps, primarily social media apps and gaming apps, even media apps to a degree as well. What's happening, and as people do research on this, people have one or two reactions. This is what I read. When people hear about the psychological inner workings of app development, they think either, wow, this is really dangerous, or, wow, I could make millions. This is what they're thinking, because they know how us humans work, and they're taking advantage of human vulnerability to purposefully, this is all on purpose, to make apps more addictive. This is what's going on. Now, obviously, we have to decide. But just so that we know, that's what's underlying this. And so the point is, more attention means more profits, and it means more knowledge of you and information for advertising. So more attention to the apps. You could use the word manipulation. This is the digital version of pumping sugar, salt, and fat into junk food in order to induce binging. Tristan Harris said this, never before in the history of the world have decisions of a few handful of designers in San Francisco working at three companies, Google, Apple, and Facebook, have had so much impact on how millions upon millions of people around the world spend their attention. A handful of designers and it's affecting millions of people on how they spend their attention. Now, there is an app called Forest. It's trees. Stay Present. I've had the app, and I deleted it because, in a good way, I think, I don't look at this so much, but there's an app called Forest, Stay Present. You load this app in, and if you have a problem with always looking at this, then you start the app, and you say, 30 minutes, I will not. No looking, 30 minutes, okay? Now, if you do that, then you grow a tree. And then eventually you can grow a forest. If you don't do it, your tree dies. I have a student that has this app, and he goes, it's kind of weird. I care about my digital tree. And it's actually, it's using, what is it doing? It's using the reward system, okay, but in a good way to not use the phone. There's another app called Freedom Reduce Distractions. Same thing, it shuts off notifications on the phone. And why do I bring this all up in this point? It's because when we think of what to do, very often the answer to that question, what am I going to do, is look at the screen rather than think, how is God calling me to obey him, to live out his word in this moment? And so that default question our mind goes to, even as Christians, has left, what is God calling me to obey him? And the default question in our mind is, what am I going to look at here? Because it's drawing us in. I believe families need to have discussions on this. Social media apps are not neutral. They are doing things to suck you in for a greater amount of time. Last year, the average adult web user spent over 100 minutes per day on social media. How much time here? How much time here? Lastly, on this point, I listened to a TED Talk. You're familiar with TED Talks, yes? This TED Talk was by a millennial computer scientist who is an author. Do you know what he does at night when he puts his kids to bed? He said this in the talk. He said, I put the kids to bed. I sit in a leather chair, and I open up a hardcover book, and I read. Come on, a hip, cool, millennial computer programmer does this? Yes. And actually, he said when he was in college, Facebook was invented, and his personal dorm room tech startup went bust, and he couldn't stand Zuckerberg. He's like, man, he's being successful. I'm not doing Facebook, that guy, you know. And actually, to this day, the TED Talk was about, to this day, he is not on social media at all. And he says, what peace that I have. His name, if you're interested and want to look it up, is Cal Newport. It's a TEDx talk, and he goes through the dangers of social media. Now, I am not standing up here saying, you sinful person, you have a Facebook account. That's not my point. And there can be very good things that come from this. My point is this: the allure, the attraction of the screen and of social media is so reducing God's people from studying his word. That is my point. We need to have the question, how is God calling me to study his word and obey him? Not always, I need to check. And I want to say this real quick, because I'm a teacher. Students today, when they study, okay, they're studying. If their phone is here, okay, they're studying, and oh, here, oh, back to study, oh, back to study. okay, not even from the Bible perspective, from scientists' perspective, this is bad for brain development. It is. Sorry, middle school and high school students and college students. It is bad for brain development. Real wisdom is to focus. God has made our brains thrive when we are able to focus on a task and not have a distracted brain. A distracted brain is going to hurt you and your future. And it will hurt your ability to spend focused, attentive time in God's Word. More could be said, but let's just leave it at this. God's Word offers wonderful words of wisdom, life-giving words of wisdom to our lives. And it's simple. It's simple. Be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to become angry. The priority of purity and the importance of practicing God's Word. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious and mighty God, I pray that you would give all of us in this room a greater desire to feed on your Word, to give attention to your Word, and to see how your Word, it lights the path before us, and it is a wonderful path. Please, O God, give us wisdom when it comes to our phones and screens. Please help us to use them as a tool and never, never, never let them control us and use us. Oh God, may our lives bring glory and honor and praise to you. Please lead us in your way, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.